remove this flesh of yours that still desires the wrong thing. So what's the problem? The problem is we're supposed to overcome that flesh. Mm-hmm. Amen. So God is showing us that now I place you in a position where you have power to overcome.
Yes.
Pastor talked about it in Sunday school. We just sang about it, being led by the Spirit of God. Now, condemnation, what does that mean? It's the act of declaring one guilty and then sentencing a punishment. So you're guilty, and then there's a punishment attached to it. But Paul is saying, for the believer, there is therefore no more condemnation. You're not guilty anymore. Sin has no dominion over you. But preach, I still do wrong. See, we're placed in a position where we now have to choose. God gives us choices now. And there's no more excuse of, can we do it? You have God's nature. If you have become a believer, you can do it.
All right now.
But you have to do it in Christ. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are where?
In Christ.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This verse, by the way, is a sum total of what we all must discover in the Word of God. Let me say this. There is no religious ceremony. There's no church. Nothing we can do to bring us to God. Many things are done by many people trying to make themselves acceptable to God. We do so many things to try to please God, right? But understand this, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. And also it is true not by good works which we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's Titus 3:5. So what is Paul revealing here? He revealed his most intimate failures as a Christian in Romans chapter 7. And then he declares to us in chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking about salvation. Salvation means to be in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, you have been placed inside Christ Jesus. Not because of something you did. We have been placed in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We have been baptized into the family of God by the Spirit of God. Because you believe. You didn't do anything. Right? You didn't go to church a few times, and you didn't do some religious act and go through some ceremonies. You just believe. And God placed you in his family. You are his. But you don't feel like you're his. You don't always dot your I's and cross your T's like you're supposed to. And you even feel bad now when you do something and you know God don't like it. When you say something you shouldn't have said. When you start watching things you shouldn't watch. You get in conversations you shouldn't get into at work. You get mad at somebody when they ran you off the road. And then when you get beside them, you realize they just old. That happens to me all the time. When I look at my wife out of the corner of my eye, I should have kept my mouth shut. I'm going to be old one day. Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
amen.
All crazy.
Yeah. Huh?
All crazy.
That's right. I'm going to go with old. I'm going old. I don't want to be crazy. You know? Praise God. But this is the character that God is trying to weed out of us. And he's doing it by allowing you to get in these situations and you have to choose what to do. Every time I get into these situations that Paul got into, I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I liked it. But it's only in Christ that he regenerates my mind, changed my desires. And then only then do I start liking things differently. We're going to move on. Salvation means to be in Christ. It does not mean to join a church or to do something religious. Amen. Although you should come to church. Amen. But that's not going to make it right with you and God. Mm-hmm. Although you should be here. Yeah. It means to be in Christ. In this epistle to the Romans, Paul may use examples. Now, he gave us many examples between chapters 1 and 7. Propitiation, repentance, substitution, atonement, redemption, all these awesome words, and they all point to justification. But the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit used him to sum it all up in very one simple preposition. And that's the word in. Those that are in Christ Jesus. It ain't about how you feel. It's not about all the good deeds you've done. If you're a believer, you're in Christ Jesus. And that's where you start your change. Don't go out there and try to make it right. Don't go out there and just try to do all the things you know you should be doing. Make sure you're in Christ. Make sure you understand your position. That's where your power is at. The Holy Spirit is only going to lead us to do anything we do in Christ. You can't just want to go do it. Amen? But the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit used him one word, and he said the word in. So what does it mean to be saved? It means to be in Christ. And we're going to take a little bit closer look at justification. What does that mean? It means to be declared not guilty. That's what happened when you became a believer. You've been declared not guilty anymore.
All right.
Amen. If you know you're not guilty, you'll start acting like you're not guilty. That's how this thing works. You believe you still an old person. So you act like the old person. Well, that's just how I do things. No, it's not. You've been justified. You've been set free. Jesus paid the price for all that. You have a new nature now. And you can choose to follow that new nature.
All right now.
This is because the finished work of Jesus, who died on the cross for all sinners, was resurrected from the dead. This is what justified means. Romans 3 and 23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. That puts everybody on the same playing field. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, it doesn't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, somebody might say, hey, I'm not as bad as that thief or that drug dealer or that murderer. You know, I'm not as bad as them. And you're right. You're not as bad as them. It doesn't change the fact that we're all on the same playing field. I'm going to give you an example. Now, think about this. We're going to play a game. Right? Now the object of the game is to see which one of us, I want you to imagine this, we're playing a game. Which one of us can, the object of the game is to see who can jump from downtown Durham to downtown Raleigh. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. That's the goal. All right? I can see your face now. That's stupid. Hold up. Now, just imagine you like jumping games and you agree to play. Because you and I are pretty competitive and we hate losing, we agree to get other people involved. So not just me and you, we're going to get everybody involved. We're going to start spreading the word and telling everybody about this game, right? So a lot of people get in the game and we make sure, because I'm competitive, I get people in there I think I can jump further than. Right? I'm going to choose some people that I think I can jump further than and that I'm better than. Now I'll go first. I run and I jump. But I don't get as far as I thought I did. You know, I don't get as far as I thought I would have gotten. Let's say the pastor jumped. He gets a little further than I did, right? Now we all jump and we realize some people can jump better than others. Right? And the ones that jump the furthest, we call them the best jumpers. And they buy into the hype and they believe they the best jumpers. We all get caught up in who jumped the furthest and who didn't. We all forgot that we all came up short of the requirement. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The goal was to jump to downtown Raleigh. Yeah. Nobody made it. You may have jumped a little further than I did, but you still came up short.
All right, now.
That's the whole thing about pleasing God. Yeah, you might be doing things all right. You might be a little better than the next person at jumping. But you're still going to come up short of the glory of God unless you're in Christ Jesus being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
In Christ Jesus being led by the Holy Ghost. Now, as I said, justification means to be declared not guilty, for being justified by faith. Let me move on. Now, this 8th chapter of Romans, it takes us all the way through chapters 1 and 7, and it brings it into one sentence. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, there's no judgment for sin to those who are in Christ. Then why am I still sinning? Because we have not chose to let God lead us. Amen? You have a choice. Now, how often do you spend time with God? Don't answer. How often do you read your Bibles? How often do you come to church? How often do you spend time learning about Christ? Because that's what studying is. That's all you're doing. You're not trying to figure out what to do. You're trying to figure out who Christ is. Right? Who is this man that I'm in? I am in Christ now. God looks down and he don't see Gerald anymore. He see Christ. So he's the one I need to find out about. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not just reading the scriptures and trying to learn what to do. It's trying to figure out who am I attached to? That's the goal. Men have always looked for ways to be righteous with God. Amen. Including Paul. Paul was just trying to figure out how to be right with God. And he wrote to the Philippians and he said this, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness." Amen. This is what he learned in chapter 7. "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law." Amen. "But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Philippians 3:9. "This is the righteousness of God which comes to us by faith only." Now let me back up. when we first got saved, we went through something called a regeneration. Mm-hmm. Let me explain to that what that is. That's when your spirit was awakened. Now, it was dead before. You had a spirit, but it wasn't alive. It was just sitting there waiting to be woke up. When you became a believer, God woke it up. Now God has a place to dwell. He has a place where you and him can commune together. Amen? It's the spirit where you and God make your connection. He don't deal with your will. He don't deal with your flesh. He deals with your spirit. He not only woke it up, he gave you his life. Mm-hmm. Called the Holy Spirit.
All right.
So your spirit now has the Holy Spirit. And now that's why you know how to maneuver in this world the way God wants you to. Because your spirit and God are connected now. There was a disconnect before. You did what you wanted to do. You did what you thought. But now there's a connection there. Is it making any sense? Romans 8 and 2 says this, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free,
free
from the law of sin and death." Now the law of sin and death, that's me trying to do this on my own. I'm trying to fulfill the law. I'm trying to do the will of God. I'm going to use pastor's word. They always say this. You can't just do it. You have to be it. You're already in Christ. So all you got to do now is just let the Holy Spirit lead you. So how do I do that, minister? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't going to be able to teach you that in the morning service. My here is to proclaim it and make sure you understand where we are. It's in the Sunday schools and the Bible studies and your personal devotions where you learn and gain your experience. You can't get your experience in 17, 20 minutes of a morning service. Amen? The Holy Spirit is going to give you your experience all next week. Between Monday and Friday.
All right, now. Yeah.
And Saturday. That's usually when you have a day to yourself. That's when you're going to get your experience. That's when the Holy Spirit is going to make these words come to life. I can't do it. We're here to proclaim and let you know, hey, this is the right track. This is where you need to be. Monday is when you're going to have to be that. That's when the rubber meets the road, amen? On hump day, when you're ready to go home and you look at the clock and it's only 11 o'clock and it feels like 3.
All right.
When your coworker's tripping. When you get in that traffic jam and there's an accident up there and you can't get home and you miss your appointment. That's when the experience happens. That's the struggle. Do you submit to the old man? Or do you submit to the Spirit? I started tripping about this sermon because it just wasn't coming. And I'm complaining to my wife and I'm starting to get in the flesh. And she steps in and said, "Suck it up. You go through this all the time. You do this every time you preach. God gonna give it to you. If he don't give it to you, just don't give it to you."
Yep.
So I stomped away. And I got it right with God in my office. I closed the door. But that's what we have to do to each other. Amen? Paul mentioned the Holy Spirit for the first time here in chapter 2. Now, he didn't mention the Holy Spirit at all in chapter 3. Amen? He just talked about what he was going through. Chapter 2, now he's mentioning the Holy Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life." The Spirit of life. That's your life. That's that new life that God gave you. It's not that old nature. When you got saved, he gave you his life. Mm-hmm. His life can't sin, can't do wrong, can't go the wrong way, can't say the wrong things. Yeah. Yeah. This is what you have on inside of you. So it can be done. Yeah. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So you not only have God's spirit on inside of you, he put you in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. which makes you righteous. So when God looks down, because he can't really look at you because you be tripping. Yep. But he looks down and he sees your covering.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he sees Christ. And even though you tripping, he can still see you because Christ died for that. Mm-hmm. He paid the price for your tripping. And that's why you can go to God and get it right. Because in your spirit, God said, that's not right. Mm-hmm. And you immediately run to God. You're right, Lord. I didn't do that right. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that right. And God restores you back. And when I say restore, you don't allow it to disconnect you and God. That's how this thing works.
All right.
You're not going to cross all your T's and dot every I every time. Mm-hmm. But when God reveals it to you and give you the power to overcome, you don't go back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You don't continue in that thing all the time like you used to. But God is good. So he mentions the Holy Spirit to the believer until he gets to the 8th chapter. That's when he mentions the Holy Spirit. And the reason he mentions them here in 8:2 is that this is the way of Christian living. You see, there is something that Paul discovered in the 7th chapter of Romans. And that is, even after he was converted, he could not live the Christian life in his own strength.
All right.
That's right.
Yes, it's true.
Paul learned this. This is Paul we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to teach us this.
Yes.
That's why he said there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So act like you in them.
Yeah.
I can say that because that's what he told me.
Yeah.
When I slammed the door of my office and I got back there, act like you in me. I gave you the power to do. I didn't give you the power to try.
All right now.
Amen. Yes. You don't have the power to try. You have the power to do.
Yep. Do.
You can line your will up with God if you want to.
Yep. Yes.
It's your choice.
Yep.
Got a choice.
You can do it. You can willfully get in the struggle.
Come on now.
And now you got the Holy Spirit back in you. What you do is you get in Christ and you stand behind your Lord and Savior. And you tell your flesh what to do. Yeah. Lord said, do this.
Yeah.
While you behind him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
And he's, the flesh is still showing you stuff you like. And you could choose to say, hey, that dude look good. Let's go do this.
Yeah.
You can choose to do that.
Yeah.
Or you can stay behind and you can fight this fight. You can put on your whole armor of God and stand. What are you staying? In Christ. That's where you stand. That's where you fight. And you can tell the flesh, we're not going to do that today. We're not going to say that. We're not going to go there. We're not going to do these things that we used to do. As a matter of fact, I can't do them because I have a new nature now. You make that choice. And the more we choose to do the right thing, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be as easy as it's going to get as when Jesus come back. And we get these new bodies, and there's that flesh, that new body ain't gonna be fighting against you. That new body gonna say, let me get in there with you. Let me get in Jesus with you. But until that happens, you're gonna always have to fight. Amen. You can do it. Some of us has found out that it the hard way. There's the hard way we found out. When we first got saved, and well, I should say when I first got saved, I had what we called a zeal without knowledge.
All right. Zeal without knowledge.
I was on fire for God. My wife can tell you. I had a zeal without knowledge. I ain't know nothing, but I knew I love God.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
And I was out here trying to love God. I want behind Christ. Because I didn't know I needed to be there. I'm out here trying to love God. And God understands that zeal. I thought when I got converted that all I needed to do was just learn the Bible and do it.
Come on now.
And notice I'm trying to do it from here.
Right.
My own strength. That's when I did all my falling and my failures, and that's when I fell flat on my face trying to figure out, Lord, I pray, Lord, I'm trying my best. What's going on? Yeah. And that's when he gave me the word. I didn't give you the power to try. Yeah. I gave you the power to do.
The power to do.
Now, if you get in the right position, you can do this. Yeah. But long as you out here, you trying. Yeah. If you get behind Jesus, you can do this. You see, knowledge of the Bible is not enough because all I did was learn stuff that I couldn't do.
Yeah. All right then. Right.
I learned the do's and the don'ts. Okay, I shouldn't be going there, but I'm going anyway. Because I don't have the power to stop.
Yeah.
I know I shouldn't be saying that, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because I don't have the power to stop because I won't get in Christ.
Yeah.
And stay there and let the Holy Spirit lead me. So I was failing. I had more failures after my conversion than I had before.
Yeah.
All right, then.
I was fine before I got saved. At least I thought.
Yeah, right.
Nobody was telling me nothing. I ain't had no convictions. I just do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I don't care who liked it. Yeah. Man, I care who liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had told me, now listen to this, that I could not live the Christian life. In fact, I was told I could do it. But I could not. And I found out, like many of us are finding out, you can't do it by yourself. The Christian life is Holy Spirit working through the believer to produce the life of Christ he wants. Now we really get to the wheel, right? What choice is. Choice is really not you choosing. Choice is you decide not to choose.
All right. Go ahead. I like that.
Let me say that again. Choice is really not you choosing. You've decided, I ain't going to make the decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to let God make it.
Yeah.
Lord, what you want me to do? And then I'll go out there and make that choice.
Yeah.
That's what choice is for the life of a believer. I realize I don't really know nothing. Paul said, "Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death?" In other words, I find that I can't do the things I want to do.
Right.
And guess what? That's exactly it. You can't do it.
Uh-huh.
You can't look at your neighbor and say, "You can't do it."
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Okay, well tell yourself, you can't do it.
You can't do it.
That's who you really need to be telling.
Yeah.
You can't do it. The Christian life will always be a struggle if the Holy Spirit of life is not leading us in Jesus Christ. That's what Christian life is all about. It's being led by the Spirit of God. Choosing not to choose. I'm going to let God choose for me. Lord, I have no idea what to do. That's great, because I do.
Yeah.
Give me some time. I'm going to get you in this word. You're going to not just know the word. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit send you through some experiences.
Yes.
Where you have to choose.
Yes.
And before you make a choice, you say, God, what you want me to do?
Uh-huh.
I know what your words say, but I how to perform it, I know not how.
Help, Lord.
So Lord, you tell me how to do this. I know what your words say, but I still can't do it. I know I should be saying the right things to her, but what do you want me to say? That's where the Holy Spirit come in. God says you're supposed to say the right thing, but then the Holy Spirit tells you what to say.
Yes.
That ain't in the Bible. Every little situation you're going to go through.
All right.
Amen. Every word that you're supposed to say. Everything, how you're supposed to respond. That's your responsibility to submit to the Holy Spirit to find those things out.
Mm-hmm.
know you ain't supposed to be backbiting and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But only the Holy Spirit can show you how to respond.
Yes.
That ain't in here.
Right.
Your detailed life and the things that you go through on a day-to-day basis with your family, your kids, your job. Amen. The people that you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. Only you know what you go through. And the Holy Spirit have to give you those words at that very moment. There's no script. You know I got to do right. But you don't know what you need to say at the very moment unless you're in Christ. We're almost done. Romans 8, 3 and 4 says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh,
all right,
that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Mm-hmm. Let me give you an illustration of what that means. We're almost done. And I'm going to read verbatim. I got this story, and it blessed my heart, from a man named Dr. William Pentengill. And it blessed me. I think it's going to bless you. He told a story of a good housewife who got a roast ready one day and put it in the oven to bake. She then got busy doing her own things, right? Later, the phone rang, and it was one of her neighbors who had heard the latest gossip. So she sat down to listen. They going off, talking about what's going on in the neighborhood. It developed into a long conversation. All of a sudden, she smelled something burning. She said, "I'm sorry, I gotta go." She hung up. She said, I smell my roast burning. I'll call you back later." So she hung up the phone and rushed into the kitchen. She opened up the oven, and there was the roast, overdone and burning. Mm-hmm. Now she rushed to get a fork. She reached down with an attempt to lift up the roast to get it out of the oven, but it would not come. The fork went right through the meat.
Jesus.
And it just wouldn't hold. She couldn't get that thing out of the oven. As I said, she was a good wife. So she went and got a spatula. She put the spatula down under the roast. Then she took a spoon and put it on top of the roast. Then she was able to lift the roast out. All right? With the fork. Now, what the fork could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, the spatula was able to do it.
All right.
Stay with me. There was nothing wrong with the fork. Fork was fine. As a matter of fact, it was brand new. She had just bought it. There was something wrong with the flesh. The meat was the problem. It was overcooked. It would not be held by the fork. So she had to find another method. Now look, just as there is nothing wrong with the fork, there is nothing wrong with the law. The Mosaic law, nothing wrong with it. When we say there that we are not under the law, we do not mean that the law isn't good. It is good. It's God's law, right? Everything yep. God made is good.
Yep.
But you see, you cannot be saved. It can't save you. It's like the fork. The law will reach down in me and even go right through me. But the law could not lift me up.
All right.
With the fork or the law, what the fork and the law could not do, God sent his Holy Spirit to do. Amen. In Christ, you are that roast. And what you couldn't do on your own, now you can do it because the Holy Spirit lifts you up and gives you the power to perform it. We see why it's so important to be in Christ. You've already done that. You became a believer, right? Mm-hmm. And being led by the Spirit. And choose not to choose. That's how we're going to make it.
issues.
That's how we're going to make it. So in conclusion, I know there's many of us here that we're trying to live the Christian life, right? You're trying to do it your way. You're asserting your own will. You're trying to live in your own strength. How's that working out for you? Amen? Nobody's perfect. But let me show you perfection according to the Bible. Perfection is staying in Christ. This is Christ. This is me. Holy Spirit is empowering me to do what Christ wants me to do. Staying in Christ is God's definition of perfect. Amen? If you're going to make a mistake, make it here. Make it in Christ. Don't make it out there. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We have come short of God's glory. Even if you and I produce something in the flesh, which somebody may applaud you for, amen, they may say you did a good job, it's still no good to God. It's still of the flesh. I've come to the realization, as a Christian, from the day I got saved up until now, there are things that are not going to last because I did them in the flesh. I must have to stand before God, and there were some things I've done as a Christian outside of the will of God that He's not going to accept. I've come to that realization, and I'm going to have to be okay with that. But my goal now is to stay in Christ, that from now on, everything I do, God will be pleased with. I think many of us today can, if we're honest with ourselves, as a believer, there's some things God not going to accept. And it's okay, because you're still alive. You can still get in Christ. And from this day forward, we can be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to end with this one scripture, and then I'm going to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All the old way you used to do stuff, you do away with that. Behold, all things are become new. Now you have a new way of doing things. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means to thoroughly change. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As long as you're standing here, you represent Christ. Amen. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ thee, be ye reconciled to God.
Be ye reconciled.
Every believer's struggle. If you're struggling, you're in the right place. I'm here to give you hope. You are in the right place. All we have to do is remain in Christ. Let the Holy Spirit lead and decide not to choose. Let God make your choices. Let us pray. Almighty God, we truly thank you this morning. You understand our struggle. You understand what we're going through. We truly want to serve you and be pleasing to you, but we know not how. Lord God, thank you for showing us the way. Jesus is the way. You have placed us inside our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, give us the power to remain, that we may be led by your Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you right now. It is in Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.